Scripture today. That was John chapter 15.
John 15.
And we started reading from verse 1.
Now we're reading verse 1.
I think we went up to 8.
By 8.
We're going to be talking about this today, but the same theme is going to come through the next few weeks as well. Just by way of starting, I was just reminded of a story that Andrew Selly told. Now Andrew leads the family of churches called 412 that we are part of. And at one point, he tells the story of how he visited Zimbabwe. And he went to one of the national game parks. And, you know, as all these Azungus like to do, they put up their tent in the bush. And they go into the tent to sleep. But obviously this is in the wild. They are lions. And some of us, we like to have thick walls when we know there are lions outside. But anyways, they get into their tent, their children put up, their family put up a tent on the side, and they've got young people in there as well. And in the night, the lions came. And you know how lions are. And you know, God has actually designed it, that roar of the lion is what weakens you. It's not even the touch of the lion, it's just a roar. And by the time the lion gets to you, you have already passed out. Now Andrew says in that moment he remembers what they had been told by the guides in the park. When you go into any of those national parks, they will tell you this. They will say, if you hear a lion coming, remain in your tent. Don't go out. Just stay in that tent. It doesn't matter how much it's roaring. Sometimes you can even see the head hitting the tent. Stay in the tent. How many of us would stay in that tent? And Andrew says, you know, these lions, there were many of them, it wasn't just one. They were roaring and they were pushing the tent. And he was like, remain in the tent, please. Now he's hearing the younger people in the other tent screaming now. And he's busy shouting, remain in the tent. And you know what? When they remained in the tent, it saved them. After a while, the lions got tired of roaring and trying to get in. The sign of it is that as long as they can see this barrier, you are the one who knows it's a flimsy tent and a lion can break it easily. But the lion don't know that. As long as there's this barrier, their method is to try to scare you so that you come out. The moment you come out, then they get you. But if you remain there, if you remain in the tent, you are safe. I think you can already begin to see the connection between that story and our reading. In our reading, Jesus said, remain in me. Remain in me. I don't know how many times we've been given an instruction of how to do something.
But we come up with another way of doing it. And usually the way that we come up with is a harder way. We're just saying here, your way is better. I want to give up my religion. I want to give up my tradition. Because your way is better. And today we're going to talk about that better way. What is it? And Jesus tells us.
Yes,
he tells us a way of doing Christianity, which is better and easier. You know, I work with someone in the finances of GCC, and she normally says, I don't want to work hard, I want to work smarter. There are ways of doing things. Yes, they might work. But they are hard. And it makes things very difficult. In Shona, they've got a saying, which says, Rakawa Mase Kunamat. Go for it.
Well
done. Give it for her. She did well. So, yeah, you know, it's just saying it's as hard as being a believer. And how many of you feel that Christianity is quite hard?
Well,
you
mean,
do you guys also feel that it's hard? Okay, maybe let's go through some examples. Is it easy when she wrongs you to just let it go? Is it easy?
It's okay.
It's not easy. But this is Christianity. God says do. Is it easy, man? When you see that woman on the road, and you know you've got your wife at home, but your this one looks better. Is it easy when you see this? It's very long. And just for like number three, behind number three car, there's a space where you can just go in. Then you know I can see you. God says, no, you go there. Because I want you to be honest. And if there's is it easy?
It's okay,
when everybody is failing to get a passport, and this officer says to you, just give me a few quarters, and yours will come out tomorrow. I can go on and on and on. But you and I know that it becomes difficult to live out the Christian life. But Jesus is showing us a way that is better, a way that works. And it starts in verse 1 of John chapter
15,
where he talks about, I am the true vine, and my Father is the
gardener.
But as he goes through with that discourse, he says, remain in me. Remain in me. When you remain in Jesus, the things that you think are difficult, the things that we find difficult to do, some of them even impossible in the flesh, they become possible. Because we are in Jesus. When we remain in Him, all this heavy lifting that we begin to see that it actually doesn't work. We think maybe I need to read my Bible more. Maybe I need to attend more Christian meetings. Or maybe I need to get bruises on my knees, just pray. There are certain people who can climb a mountain and they are sweating and I'm up there. Then God is going to hear me. There were people in the history of Christianity themselves until blood came out trying to do Christianity. And we've got all these things that we try. God, I'm sorry. Like every night you must make sure that you confess. And it becomes a set of rules. And it becomes religion. And religion is very hard. Jesus is not looking for religion. He is looking for a relationship. That's why he says, remain in me. It's more about relationship than about what you should do or what you should do. So let's just look at a bit of background to John chapter 15. What is happening here? So, John 15 is part of Jesus' conversation with his disciples. Just before he dies. Now, we all know that the words of a dying man become quite precious. Especially in Africa. The things that somebody begins to tell you just before they die, you hold on to. You were telling me, Harold, the other day, is it an uncle of yours or someone who said, don't bury me on a Sunday? Is it a Sunday or something? On a Sunday, because I don't want to disturb people from going to church. And the family thought they had to honor that. This guy said we must just bury him on a Sunday. We are not going to bury him on a Sunday. I mean, the guy is no longer there. He can't argue with you. But you still respect that. Because these are the words of a man who is about to die. So these words that Jesus speaks in this portion of scripture, the disciples would have understood them as very, very important words. It's a very intimate, a very urgent kind of message. Very personal that Jesus is bringing. People don't talk about like politics or the weather or, it's hot today, but I'm gonna die. They don't do that. They tell you stuff which is important. So as we go through this scripture, you need to carry the same weight, or the words need to carry the same weight that they carried when the disciples were listening. So, what does Jesus talk about? He doesn't say, I want you to go and preach, I want you to go and make sure you heal the sick and all these things. He emphasizes connection. He knows he's going to be leaving them physically. He's not going to be there. I'm away from these people. But he says, I want to be connected with these people. And he says, remain in me. He said of his, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. Now this is not a random picture. This was not the first time that these guys were hearing about the vine. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was considered to be the vine? God said, Israel, you are the vine. And out of you, I'm expected to see fruit. This was the setup. We're not going to put it up, but if you like to look, maybe just not Psalm 80, verses 8 to 9. You will see Israel being mentioned as the vine. In Isaiah 5, verses 1 to 7, there's a song of the vineyard there.
God is
saying, I planted my vineyard, I was expecting fruit, but this vineyard disappointed me. What am I going to do about this vineyard? I want to read for you just verse 7. It says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. And the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. Can you see? It's the nation of Israel. That is the vineyard of the Lord. And then it carries on. He says he looked for justice. This is the fruit that he was looking for. But saw bloodshed. He's getting a different kind of fruit. He looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. God had made them a vine and expected them to produce fruit. This is just verse 7. To just show you that this picture of a vine didn't start with Jesus and the disciples on that upper room. Now, as we see, just in the scripture that we read, these people had failed over and over again. It's like you plant your mango tree, and every time it's mango season, you go there, you look for mangoes, but you don't find mangoes. Or maybe you're finding mangoes, but they're rotten. Or they don't taste nice. This is what's happening here. So, the disciples all along, because they are Israelites, they would have understood themselves to be the vine. They walked around the Roman Empire as mere vine. You're not the vine. Now imagine, you've carried this all your life, and someone comes and says, you know what, I am the true vine. Now he's beginning to tell you that you are not the one. Can you see how this would have impacted them? No, I am the true
one.
And you know, I don't know if this is going to come out. I know it can be difficult in Shona and Chewa. There's a difference between a vine and the vine. A vine is just like, you know, a vine out there. But the moment you say the, you're not talking about a very definite object. You're talking about something more significant. You can say, I saw a man. Nobody cares to even know what was he looking like. What he but if you say, I saw the man, it already begins to say, people maybe know about this man that you're talking about. This becomes a definite thing. Jesus says, I am the vine. So the disciples also understood they were supposed to have produced fruit. And they knew that they had been failing as a nation. They had been failing as individuals.
And
no matter how many times the disciples got it wrong, even when they were with Jesus. When Jesus, right there, the Son of God is walking with you, but you're fighting about who's the greatest amongst us. What kind of feeling is that? Jesus says, you know, who do you people say that I am?
Yes,
what about you? They were quiet until Peter spoke up. But God said to Jesus said to him, God actually revealed this to him. So he's feeling good. Wow! I recognize him as the Messiah. Just when he is getting puffed up with pride, in the very next minute, God is saying, get behind me, you Satan. Now he's failing again. They had not just failed as a nation, but even as individuals, they were failing. And they knew it. This system failed mostly because it was dependent on human effort. You remember the Sabbath? God said, you must obey the Sabbath. And he left it there. So it was up to you now. Today is Sabbath. So I'm going to try and make sure that I don't do any work. You know, even in Israel today, they still obey the Sabbath. And they've come up with crazy things. They have mechanisms where if you go into a lift, you are not supposed to push the button. Because if you push the button, you have worked on the Sabbath. I had a lecturer who used to be an engineer before he was a lecturer. And he said, watch out, please, maybe somebody will be coming to ask you with this. He said, a Jewish family, very devout Jewish family, approached him to make them a gadget that would automatically roll out the tissue when you go out to the toilet. Because if I roll it out by myself, I work. Do you see how we begin to get into religion and into our own ways? And these ways are difficult. And when we are singing, break down all religion, your way is better. We need to know this better way. And Jesus is aligning us and bringing us back to that. Obey the Sabbath, sacrifice this, you must be a good person. If your boss falls into this, you have it's dependent on you doing all these things. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You are not the vine. Israel might have been a vine, but Jesus is the true one. Now he says to them, you are part of this thing. You are actually branches. It's almost like a house where like a father stands up and says, I am the father. You are the children. Just making sure everybody knows who's who in the zoo. And Jesus says that. You are the branches, which means you depend on the vine. You're not doing your own thing. In fact, you are doing nothing. All you need to do is to remain connected to me. And things happen. Did you know that as Christians we don't do things? Things happen through us. God works his purposes through us. If we are doing things the right way, you do not have to work on producing fruit. You just need to remain connected to the vine. You've never walked past an orange tree and seen the branch of a tree like sweating to produce oranges. The branch is just there. It's just there. And the fruit comes out. It doesn't shake. It doesn't cry out. Fruit just comes because it's connected. So Jesus explains this to them.
Yes,
no matter how hard you try, you are just a branch. Your job is to stay connected. The vine is the source of life. The branches depend on the vine. And the fruit is just a result of that relationship. Do you notice in verse 4? It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. He doesn't say, perform for me, impress me, or even turn from me. Simply says, remain in me. This is an ongoing relationship. It's not a one-time thing. You can't say, ah, yesterday I remained in Jesus. No, you are either remaining in or you are not. Maybe other versions will say, abide in me. This means holding on and continuously being there, staying in constant connection with Jesus. Say, for example, I think Chris once gave us this illustration about it. When you take your phone to charge your phone, you just connect it to the charger and you leave it there. And the phone is not like it's just sitting there. As long as it remains connected, the charging happens. The phone just needs to remain connected. Friends, can we learn to be connected to Jesus? Can we learn to stay in His presence? Can we learn to be at His feet as we were praying about Him? Can we learn to be immersed in Him? Because this is the way that Jesus is showing us. Remain in Jesus. Not just on Sundays. Not just at Easter. Or maybe when it's prayer time. Or that period when you're looking for something and you're desperate. But daily, moment by moment, be in Jesus. Scripture came last week again out there. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Walk in Him. Continue to be built up in Him.
Be rooted
in Him. This is what He is asking us. And then when we do that, we begin to see fruit coming up. We need to talk about fruit a little bit. Because sometimes we talk about these words and we just assume everybody knows. Is it that oranges are going to grow from our ears? Maybe bananas from our hands? Is that the fruit? When we look in scripture, we find different examples. There's not just one type of fruit. Let's look at, first of all, maybe what we can call character fruit. Like your character becomes Christ-like. In Galatians 5, verse 22 to
23,
it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces. Please don't wake up and say, today I want to make sure that I am exercising love. It's not going to work. In the flesh, it's not possible. But when the Holy Spirit works in you and works through you, you find that you are now able to love the unlovable. You are becoming patient in situations that are really trying. You begin to carry this joy even when all around you is not good. This is character. And it's a fruit that is coming out. If you ever notice that it actually says the fruit of the Spirit. Many people say the fruit of the Spirit. This is more like an all-around thing. Like you become all these things. But it's just one thing that is coming out of you. And this is one thing called character. Obedience is another fruit. You begin to live according to God's will for your life. In verse 10 of this very John 15, it says, if you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in me. Do you see the centrality of obedience there? When you are in Jesus and you are remaining in Jesus, it becomes easier for you to obey Him. The things that you normally would strain, like, I need to do this so that I'm a good Christian, they begin to just flow out of you. You don't have to fight and wrestle. How about impact on other people? This is another fruit that you become useful to other people. If you ever had people in your life, when they come and they speak maybe just one word, and it has so much impact. It's actually a joy that I can tell you, those people have been with Jesus. Those people are people who are connected to Jesus. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus says we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And then in verse 20, He says we need to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. This is not possible if you are doing it in your own strength. And if you are in Jesus, if you are remaining in Him, staying in Him, connected to Him, automatically. You don't go out to say, I'm going to look for someone to convert today. Opportunities just come up. How many of you have gone home and you're lying on your bed after the day? Suddenly it hits you. Hey! That person that I saw, what could they have told them this, that, and the other? I could have even led them to Christ. And you talk about everything else except about Christ. When that is happening, it could be an indication that you are not remaining in Him. Because when you are in Him, the immediate thing that comes into mind is stuff to do with Him. We're talking about fruit. Maybe let me just say one last one which generalizes it. Fruit is the result of anything that you do. In Psalm 1 verse 3, he's talking about a person who is giving themselves to the Lord. It says, He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. You see the fruit coming up there? And its leaf does not wither. Listen to this last part. In all that he does, he prospers. Now, this is just things that you're doing in your life. But you see success. Have you seen people like that? They go to school, they pass. They look for jobs, they find it. They pray for someone to be healed. They are rooted in Jesus. And if they were in sync with the Lord, God is actually directing. What wants you to be successful? It's that you are so rooted in Him. Are things that God wants you to do anyway. And if God wants you to do those things, they're going to be successful. That's what it means. Whatever He does, prospers. Anything that you're doing in your life is driven by the Lord. And the success that comes out of it. All this fruit is natural. It just comes when we remain in Him. We don't need to manufacture it. You can't force peace in your heart. You can't force it. When you don't have peace, you don't have peace. You cannot crank it up. You can't crank up joy. Imagine you are hungry. Very hungry, like I'm beginning to feel now. And you say, but I'm full, I'm gonna force.
Are you going to start feeling like a bit broken about it? You can't.
Food has to go into you. It's just how it's designed. We need to stay connected. And that joy just grows in us. That love flows through us. Oh goodness knows I need help in the area of love. Because loving the unlovable. There's some people that are difficult to love. Come on now, be honest. And the problem is, I am trying as me, as my flesh, but if God is dwelling in me, and I am in Him, I might even be surprised. Acting out of love towards that person, it's only when you stay or remain. Now we're going to look at two last things here. The first one is, how do you practically remain in Christ? How do you do that? Now before I tell you the answer there, let me just tell you that in the next few weeks, we're actually going to take time to look at these things one by one and teach each other how to do it. So make sure you come to church the next few weeks. But number one, we abide in Christ through the Word. The Word is central to your life as a Christian. This Bible here is not for staying in your room or for holding when you are coming to church. Can I just see your Bibles there where you are? Joshua is beginning to want to hide. Let me see your Bible, Joshua. You were up here singing. You are leading us. Can I see a Bible next to Joshua? No, I'm saying next week, bring your Bible. Okay. Let me see. I want to see.
You can see the phone. You can lift it up. It's fine. You are reading the phone. It's okay. You can phone your mama.
Can I encourage you to read the paper Bible?
Command. I'm not going to say you can my Bible.
I think the technology is taking over, but I don't think we've arrived where we can fully really live out our Christian lives with just a phone Bible. Paper Bible. And please don't talk to me saying, can I have a Bible? Don't go to anyone saying, can I have a Bible? Buy your own Bible. I almost wanted to shout it short. Take a Bible. Buy your own Bible. Buy your own Bible. Save up to buy a Bible. I hear people are saving up to buy a phone. I'm saving up to buy a phone. Why can't you buy a Bible? Go ahead, buy your own. That you say, this is mine. Getting sidetracked there. But the Word is central. Our remaining in Christ. This means we have a system of really reading the Word and getting to understand what the Word is saying and doing what the Word is saying. We're going to look more in that, so we're not going to go far. Obedience. How do you practically live or remain in Christ? By obeying. I was watching someone just sharing, which, in a way that I thought, this is so interesting, you know. He took a shirt.
And
you know how you've got that little tag there, maybe on your dress and so on.
Many
of us have it. And that is, there are instructions there. Machine wash only. And they're sending them back to Africa like, what? Only use cold water, hot water. Some of them, they do not iron. Don't mix with other clothes. How many of us actually read that and say, okay, this shirt I'm going to find someone in the washing machine? We just
read.
But you know, the people who made that shirt or that dress, they know that if you follow those instructions, that shirt is going to stay longer and it's going to serve you more and it's going to work well. Some people buy the shirt, it fits you. You wash it once, it becomes small. This is rubbish material, man.
No, it's not rubbish.
You did rubbish with that shirt by putting it in hot water when they say it's
dirty.
These are instructions from the manufacturer. God has told us how to live life here.
What
is this Bible here? This is mine. Who is yours? Get your Bible.
Mine is English as well.
Get it? I'm just joking now. So, it's all here. How to do
life.
And what we do is we either don't obey, or we choose what we want to obey and ignore the rest. You know the same God that said, do not kill. Yeah, I'll never kill. I won't kill. But he's the same God in the same Bible. We say, forgive.
Come on, someone to forgive.
But never forgive. Now we're not obeying. As we obey, we are actually remaining in Christ. Every time you disobey, you are distancing yourself. You are like that kind of branch that Jesus talks about, and we'll look at that just now. So the word, obedience, pray. Spend time in prayer. Live a lifestyle of prayer. Because it helps you to keep connected and remain connected. And the fourth one is fellowship. Do not give up meeting with others. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house. He's here. It's fellowship. This is when you have tea outside. It's not about the tea. It's just a trick to make sure you stay longer with other people. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. But it's not just on Sunday. It can be other meetings, community group meetings, when you are in the ministry area, and you are doing those things together, you're fellowshipping. You can also spend time with one another in your homes, outside, somewhere. Remain in fellowship with other believers, not non-believers or people that are going to lead you astray. I'm not saying you can't ever touch them or talk to them. But when your fellowship is every day with somebody, somebody says, show me your friends. I'll show you what kind of person you are. That is true. Very true. Our friends, the people that we are in deep fellowship with, should be people that believe. This is how we practically remain in Christ. We're going to be digging deeper into that. But I want to end by just giving us a check in our own lives now. What are some signs that can show you that you are not in Him? What are certain things that begin to be red flag or warning signs that you see? I'll take you to John 15 verse 5. We've already read all the scriptures. It's a longer one, but I just want the part that says, apart from me, you cannot accomplish, you can accomplish nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Did you see that word nothing? Can you say nothing? I didn't hear you. Nothing. Nothing means zero. It's not like you can do a little bit, or you can do something but it's not going to look so nice. Maybe 15% or 5%. Nothing. When you are away from Jesus, friends, it's nothing. You will go and pray for her. That time when we say pray for people,
this is my wife, I can touch it here.
You pray for her.
You have to be there. This has been like, oh, I'm touching women today.
She's not going to be healed.
We're going to be there. We're going to be there.
Maybe you are not connected. Because the time that you start with, you just pray for someone. If you know about the Bible, when you go to that person and pray for them, sit down and pray for yourself. And then you start abiding from that. Because sometimes we just need people with this. People is coming from there, all the time,
Let's say, let's see people actually excited to go and pray. Before they believed with Jesus.
He says
they looked at the disciples and they saw they been with Jesus.
I know.
So this statement is saying, when you are not connected, you can do nothing. The things that you are failing to do, maybe it's because you are not connected. You pray even for yourself. Nothing. You give as much as you can. Nothing. You jump up and down and they say, jump. Nothing. Maybe you need to check your connection. Without connection to Christ, our spiritual efforts lack power. You can pray or preach like I'm preaching right now. People go out and they get nothing. I felt very challenged by this point. Lord, I really need to just spend time with you now this week. Because I'm going to be wasting my voice up there. But if I'm not connected, I'm going to stand up there. And I'm going to say some things. People are going to be kind, maybe clap their hands. But no one has received anything. There is nothing that people are getting out of it. When you try to help people, there is nothing of value that you give. Because apart from Him, you can do nothing. You look at your life, and there is no fruit. All these things that we are talking about, peace, patience, kindness, you look at your life, And you are the most impatient person on planet Earth. You are the most angry person. There is no joy in you. Have you seen people like that? Zero joy. You see him on Sunday today, no joy. You see him tomorrow on Monday, no joy. Wednesday, no joy. What's wrong with you?
Why are you angry? Just push on.
Why is your face just change a little bit? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. In real life, this looks like this. It looks like spiritual dryness. Have you ever felt, I'm just spiritually dry these days? Or heard people say that, I'm just feeling spiritually dry. Sometimes, it's because you have lost connection. You are carrying on with the motions of Christianity. You come to church. You're reading the Bible. You are praying. But it's all in a religious way. You are doing it because you've been told this is what Christians do. Not because you really want to have a relationship with Jesus. How about lack of passion for God? There are people that are like zero. You go out there for tea. You're coming out of church. The first thing that comes out of their mouth is nothing to do with the service, nothing to do with God. Maybe about the Strait of Hormuz, or the Donald Trump. Please, let's talk about Donald Trump. I like talking about him. But if that's the immediate thing that comes out of you the whole time. Or maybe let's put it another way. People that the moment you bring in something spiritual, they shut down. They're no longer with you. You want to talk about the song that was sung in there? I cannot even remember what song it was. You want to bring in a scripture? You've lost them. If you are in a group of like four men, you'll be talking about the funeral and everything in that. The moment you think spiritual, the brother is quiet. After 5 minutes, you quietly find another group to go and pray. When he goes and sits over there and he's looking at his phone now. No passion for the things of God. When we look at the music that's in your phone, is there any music that is Christian music? How about the books that you read? Are any of them Christian? How about the people that you hang around with? Do they still have passion for the Lord? When you check your money expenditure, you just check where your money is going. How much of it is going towards things of the kingdom? Those things can actually show you where you stand. Constant anxiety and striving. Like this person is just anxious the whole time. Every time they start a sentence, I am worried about it. I am worried that. I am worried. And they're anxious about when things are going in the world. When you sit at the feet of Jesus, Jesus says, peace I give you. My peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. And that anxiety goes out. You know, if we were to be honest, and I'm also preaching to myself now, there are some sicknesses that Christians should not be carrying. And things of stress,
failing to sleep. Something is not right. In our relationship with Him. Something somewhere is not right. Let's be honest with one another. And I'm talking to myself because I also struggle sometimes with those things. Because Jesus said, don't worry about anything. In everything, pray. Ask. Be thankful. And then God is going to, like the peace of Christ, is going to minister to you here, and it's going to minister to you here. That means our minds are calm. And our hearts are calm. Anxiety and striving is not for God. Just feeling distant and empty. Always pick the place where people won't bother you. You might even be in church, but you are not there. When they ask for contributions, you never dream of even bringing anything. Do you know that if we really spend time with the Lord, if it was just Sunday morning before you come to church here, this church will be flooding with people saying, oh, I read the scripture. I'm going to pray. It comes from this relationship. Not from the fact that now Jonah is calling for something like, what can I go? What can I bring? Because I don't want to embarrass him. All these things, when they are happening, it's not always because you are doing something terrible or you are sinning necessarily. Maybe it's just that you are disconnected. You are trying to live the Christian life without staying close to Christ. And the danger is you actually can look very busy, but be spiritually dry. You can be active and doing things around, but you are not abiding. This is why Jesus keeps saying, abide in me, abide in me. Maybe it's homework. When you go home, go and just count how many times in that scripture does Jesus say, remain, remain, remain.